20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You know my guest, the one and only Justice Mosqueda. You can find him on social media at JUMOSQ, acmepackingcompany.com. Must go to every single day. Justice, how the heck are you doing, my friend?
Doing all right. Playoff situations got real boring at the end. But there's still games to be played. I don't know what we do with this week, but at least, you know, we still have a ticket in the postseason.
At least there's two win and you're in, like, play-in games in the AFC North and NFC South. They're not super. I mean, it could easily be Aaron Rodgers' last game on, you know, Sunday Night Football. So there's some intrigue to that sort of game. You don't have DK Metcalf and that whole situation. Baltimore just had its best game of the year against Green Bay. So that one is at least intriguing. And again, whether, you know, Carolina or Tampa, I don't think anyone expects either of those teams to make any noise, but it is a win and you're in game basically for both of those. And so, yeah, I do think it's entertaining, at least from that standpoint. The Saturday night game with the 49ers and the Seahawks being for number one, and what the loser gets, what, the six, I think is what it is. Or is it the five? Either way, it's like there's a big drastic difference in the winner and loser in that game. There's at least some stuff. The noon and 3 p.m. slate is mostly going to be pretty craptastic, but those three games at least are pretty solid.
But we are going to be watching the afternoon slate, right? Yeah. Because Bears Lions is going to decide, I guess, one leg of the situation, and then Eagles Commanders is the other. So, I don't know if you've gone over this already. I'm sure you already have, but Bears win, we play the Bears. Bears lose, the Eagles need to lose for us to play the Bears in the wild card round. Because if the Eagles win, then we play the Eagles. By the way, the Commanders are starting their third-string quarterback in that game. It's really going to come down to that Bears-Lions game. Do not expect the Eagles to lose to the Washington Commanders and Josh Johnson. I wouldn't bet on that.
I would expect Philly to take care of business in the first half. And if they want to rest players, they might even be able to do so in the second half of that game. Philly will win. And then, like you said, it'll ultimately come down to Chicago and Detroit. I expect Detroit to want to not lose four games in a row to end their season and to do what they can to try to knock Chicago down. I think that's where the big question mark is between those two teams.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people be like, is Detroit even going to be motivated? I'm like, yes, dude, they're going to be extremely. They had nothing to win when they came into Lambeau week 18 and beat Rodgers the last time he was in green and gold at Lambeau Field. Right. So I fully expect them to try. If you can look at gambling lines right now, that game's a 1.5 point game, I think. And then the Packers are, like, what, we're like 6.5 point dogs to the Vikings. Dogs. So the books are assuming that we're sitting guys, which is funny because we can't sit that many, right? And okay, we're going to sit Love. Usually the drop off from quarterbacks is pretty significant and swings lines and stuff like that. But Malik's playing well, right? So I'm kind of surprised that number is so big. I don't know.
I think it might. I think it might be Toontown. I think it might. I might be Looney Tunes to end the season.
Oh, man.
What more could you possibly want to end the year than Clayton Toon versus that defense of Minnesota just wouldn't let Jared Goff get a throw?
Let's do it this way, Andy. We have a 53-man roster.
Yep.
We could sit five guys to get fully to the game day 48. So you're sitting Love, you're sitting Malik.
Seven, right? Because you have 55. You have 55 with two calls.
You can bring up the two from the practice squad.
Seven inactives that you can make inactive, yep.
And this is, I don't know anything about the injuries, right? I assume the guys who are injured right now are pretty much going on the injured reserve. But, you know, if you take Love and Malik out, first of all, you got to have a backup quarterback somewhere. So
I think Malik will be the backup. I think Malik will be active, but I think he'll be the backup. Yep.
Okay. So we're at Love. That's one. I think you go Jacobs. Jacobs is the easy one. That's two. I don't want McKinney hurt. I don't want.
Yep. Okay. Let's do this. Let's have fun with this. All right. So let's even do this because this. So quarterback. I think you have Tune in Willis active, and I think your question is: do you want Willis to start, or do you want to just rest him as well? I think that's the question. But my guess is Tune in Willis are active, right? All right. So let's go running back. Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks will be active. Josh Jacobs probably inactive. And so we have Love and Jacobs as our inactive so far. And then can you call up a running back? I don't think they can based on other call ups they're going to need. So I think
you don't have one. Pierre Strong to the 53 man roster, and then because they're going to have three open roster spots on the 53 once they put guys on IR.
But so once we get to corner though, right? So if Hobbs can, and we know Haddon's going on IR, you now have Nixon, Valentine, Melton, and that's it. Like so. You're going to have to fill one, if maybe not two of those spots for potential corners. And then again, it's just going to get really interesting with some, but so maybe they bring Strong as one of them. I bet I'm almost willing to bet that they just go with Wilson and Brooks and don't add another running back and they figure it out. Like we might see Savion Williams in the backfield if you end up with two running back injuries. So I'm going to say no Jacobs, just two running backs. I don't think they add in there. I bet they shut down Watson, and I bet all of the other receivers are, well, Wicks is concussion.
Yeah.
Do all the other receivers play? Do you play Reed? Do you play Dobbs? You
didn't play Reed. Reed is the one that I'm like, Reed? I don't want you hurt because you're our only yak guy. You're our only yak guy for the rest of the year.
Either way, I expect this to be a heavy dose of Matthew Golden and Savion Williams as your primary two wide receivers.
Sure.
Would be my guess there.
Go for it.
Tight end, I guess Wiley and Musgrave, I think, is going to have to play. I think he's going to have to play some.
You just got to play both of them. And you just.
Yeah. And then maybe Dabney is one of your other call-ups as another tight end, and he probably gets time. What's your starting offensive line? Then you've got, I would assume, Jordan Morgan. Do you still start Belton, Jacob Monk, Donovan Jennings? And then you probably have to start one of your other guys. Are you starting Walker still? Are you starting, or are you bringing up a practice squad? Are you bringing up Brant Banks to be your other starter?
Honestly, I would sit Rashid.
Okay. So you're probably going, what, Morgan at left tackle?
Yeah. I'm
cool then in that situation?
And then what? Kennard at right tackle. Yeah, I'm Kennard, cool with Kennard that. Right? We get a look at Jordan Morgan. Rashid doesn't get hurt and doesn't cost us a comp pick. And
okay, yep, you're right.
So I would do that.
Yeah. So Morgan, Jennings, Monk, Belton, and then Kennard, right?
Yeah.
All right. So there's your probably starting five offensive line. Defensive end, you're golden because you can do Oliver, Sorrell, Brenton Cox, whatever. Defensive tackle is probably going to be a ton of Stackhouse and Bohanna. Would be my guess with a little bit of maybe Carl Brooks sprinkled in here or there.
Linebacker, that's tough.
Because it's going to be McDuffie and Hopper, but you're probably Jamin Johnson gets one of those spots, either a 53 or a call-up. Corner's the other tough one. Now, I don't know if you're worried, but I mean, if you don't want to play starters, you're already down to like two only capable corners in Nixon and Valentine. So if you want to not play them, you have to go Melton full-time at corner and then pick up two guys. You only have one guy on your practice squad.
Yeah.
So pick up another guy somewhere else.
Well, and that Simpson kid, they brought him up when they had the corner issue against the Lions. They didn't end up using him. But I think he can play and has played corner in the NFL at previous spots. But he's more of a hybrid corner safety than like a true safety. So I think he definitely is an option.
So he, Simpson might be in the slot, or like there could be a situation there because again, and then the other, the safety, if Zane Anderson can't play off of his injury, again, you've got Oladapo with one of the spots.
Feed Catan, like go for it.
Yeah. But either way, like you're going to have a couple of those guys active because again, you're limited to how many guys, this is not a 90 man preseason roster. So it's going to get very complicated for just how many of these guys can rest. And if all of a sudden you get an injury or something at linebacker, like either Cooper Quay is probably playing. Yeah, if you get an injury at safety, like
100% Williams is playing. Because you're not bringing two linebackers up and you're already, you're down to four on the 53. So that's what's going to need to happen. So
they might have best intentions with some of those guys to be like, yeah, we don't want to play you, but you're a injury or anything away from like almost not anybody, but a good chunk of those guys, like at least having to be dressed and ready to go in case they're needed. And a lot like Melton might have to play wide receiver, corner, kick returner. He might be a 90 snap guy in this game.
Yeah. It's going to be such a weird game. And I think that's kind of why Matt talked about it the way that he did yesterday, where he was like, everyone has to prepare as if they're going to be playing. Right. And I, you know, the wording there was pretty particular, which is probably what the, you know, after our conversation going through this and being like, how do you even sit guys in this game? Right. That's probably the way we would word it too. Plus that's not including any injuries, Andy.
Yes.
Any little bang ups that people have had. So every injury is another guy who can't sit officially on game day.
Yeah. And there could easily be, like you said, be a couple that we don't even know about at this point. I know Chris Brooks at one point was in the medical tent. I think he came back, but either way, you just don't know what other nicks and bruises came with that game at this point in time. And there's also been an illness that's been ravaging the team as well. So yeah, who knows, but you could get to a point where Love and Jacobs and a couple others aren't playing, but to your point and what we've been talking about, everyone's going to have to be ready because you're a play away from having to go in still in this game.
Yep. 100%.
I love that. That's where we started because that's a really fun, nerdy conversation and way better than talking about this Ravens game. But let's talk about this Ravens game because it did happen. We do have to talk about it. Obviously a brutal run defense performance. You know, Malik Willis was awesome. Where do you want to start with this one, Justice?
The run defense. I mean, that's to me, that's the story of the game. I know. Did you see the Bullard clip?
Of him talking in the locker room?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Nailed it. He's like, what are you talking about? No, we can't stop the run. We knew the run was coming. Like, if we don't fix this, we're going to be sitting our asses back in Green Bay, you know, after the first round of the playoffs. And like, you nailed it. Yeah. This hasn't been, like, the run defense has kind of been an issue in Green Bay, but it's been, like, second halves after the defensive line kind of wears down. I haven't seen, like, the team disinterested in stopping the run or freelancing and getting out of their own gaps. And, you know, you have three guys in one gap and then it just splits down the middle and stuff. Obviously, dude, the Carrington Valentine stuff was so bad on the perimeter with when Henry had him one-on-one. But I think it was more than just Valentine too. I think defensive line really crapped their pants. I don't even think I know people were like, I had people tweeting at me during the game were like, this is why you can't pay Quay. And I'm like, I don't think a lot of the issues were Quay. I think a lot of the issues were the defensive line. Right. But yeah, they just seem disinterested, unmotivated, uncompetitive in the trenches. And I don't know where the hell that came from. They definitely needed like at least a B performance from the defensive line in this game, and they got an F, right? It was pretty bad. I don't know how like PFF scored it or anything like that, but it had to be pretty brutal.
I'm not looking forward to grading this one. I have not had the chance yet. I on the rewatch I watched, and I didn't love how Quay played, but to your point, I haven't watched it with a fine tooth comb, so I'm not going to comment on it in any sort of significant way until I have the opportunity to do that. And I'm sure the defensive line and their issues up front were a huge issue for both Quay and Cooper in this game. So I'm interested to watch the tape, the like 80 snaps or whatever it ended up being on defense in this one. But the run defense was brutal. The corners didn't help. I mean, Matt seemed like flabbergasted at what happened in the run defense. He's like, at this point of the season, he's like, this is stuff we've been working on since preseason and training camp. Guys weren't in the right spots. It just really, really bizarre situation.
Yeah, dude, just guys are freelancing. Some guys aren't trying. They're not hitting their assignments. Like, and then when you are, and it's at the point of attack, you're losing one-on-one. Like, it wasn't good. It was terrible. I mean, this is the first loss by more than a touchdown, I think.
All season, yep.
All season. And yep. Couldn't have come at a worse time, right before you're about to sit guys and, you know, you've lost any and all momentum going into the playoffs. Meanwhile, like, the locker room is, after every loss, they're like, that's our last loss of the season. We got guys who are fighting, and then it's completely give up, roll over against the Ravens. Not worst
quote of the season. A, Rasheed Walker.
Rasheed saying
we're going undefeated. B, Rashawn Gary saying, just watch what this defensive line is going to do without Micah Parsons. Just watch what they're going to do. Or C, Nate Hobbs saying, we're not going to lose another game this year. Just you watch. They didn't even make it out of the calendar year without another loss after that.
The order that you said them is the order I would rank them. It's Sheed. Yeah. It's Gary. Gary, please. Enough, dude. Enough. I don't need to hear from Rashawn Gary. And then
team captain, Rashawn Gary.
Team captain. Yeah, man. Dude, what a weird year. I think that's probably like the most underrated thing about this season, right? Because it was supposed to be Micah comes in, and now we have one of the best pass rush units in the NFL.
And you just had Micah. Micah
comes in, and he's our only player. And that's a big shift in terms of expectations and all that stuff moving forward. Because, Gary gave us a zero this season. I know people will love to point out the hustle sacks, the cleanup sacks, stuff like that. Okay, that's great. And box score, but in terms of the impact of the game, like, you have to create quick pressures in this league. The ball's never been leaving quarterbacks' hands quicker. It really does nothing for you. And we were early on this, Andy. People were calling us doomers. People were calling us doomers about Rashawn Gary. And chickens came home to roost, dude. Like, it's, well, I think he just played his last game at Lambeau. At least
I think you're. I think you're probably right too on that aspect. Listen, I defended Gary through a decent part of the season in run defense. I thought he's been for the not lately necessarily, but I thought up to the, you know, midway through the year, maybe a little bit past that, I thought he'd been pretty darn good setting the edge and being a good run defender. But from a pass rush standpoint, he's provided nothing pretty much all season long. So, and then that's ultimately what you're getting paid to do, and you're not. You're not making 20 plus million per year to be a solid edge setter. Like, that's just not the name of the game.
Especially not when you're losing the edge once the guys get to the edge. Like, you could set the edge, but then once guys are like, oh, I'm going to bounce it anyway because your legs can't keep up, break contain, and then the guy stops running. Yeah, I mean,
I know he hasn't had a sack.
The reason why they don't have season long captains anymore. They might just go back to like week to week after this.
Seriously. It's bad. I know he hasn't had a sack still since whatever October it was. He still hasn't had a tackle for loss yet either, right?
He's not making an impact in these games. A lot of those, I might make like a sack reel of what the Gary sacks were, because I don't think people remember how many of those were just Micah Parsons is going crazy and the quarterback runs into Rashawn Gary because he's very scared of Micah Parsons.
There's at least like a few of his seven sacks or whatever that like Deslin Alexander would have ended up in the exact same scenario.
Yes. Like Andy Herman might have. Yeah. I hate to say.
Let's not go too far. But it was not anything that was like super earned by any stretch of the imagination. I'll just put it that way. Yeah. You obviously wrote the great article over at Acme Packing Company about Rashawn Gary and about, you know, just we've talked about it previously, but about quick pressures. And he is basically historically bad, at least since 2018, when it comes to getting quick pressures.
Yeah. So NFL Pros data, which is the league level player tracking stuff, it only goes back to 2018. That's when they got the shoulder pad chips in and all that stuff. So far in 2025, there have been no players in the NFL who have had more pass rush attempts and fewer quick pressures than Rashawn Gary. Literally no one has done less with more than Rashawn Gary. I tried to look up then historical precedents for this. There are only two players who have had as many pressures as him in a group of 206 edge defender seasons who have posted fewer than six quick pressures, which is what he has. It is 2021 Malik Reed and 2022 Cameron Jordan. Malik Reed only made four starts for the rest of his NFL career. After that, he spent 3 years on two teams after the 2022 season, and he's been out of the league for two seasons. And then, yeah, Cam Jordan. So, like, I guess if you want to keep doing the Cam Jordan thing, go do that. But here's the thing. Cam Jordan never played with Micah Parsons, right? And we're talking about, like, a 0.3% result from Rashawn Gary in terms of the snaps that he took. I thought one of the interesting things, too, is not only was he out-snapped by Kingsley and Igbara, which has become a regular thing at this point, Lucas Van Ness also out-snapped Rashawn Gary at this point. So it seems like at least the second half of the game, the Packers, like, kind of bench Rashawn. So I don't know if they're going to have LVN and Kingsley be the starters in the playoffs or what. But, yeah, I mean, put the nail in the coffin, baby. Like, Rashawn only had so many chances to really help this team and kind of change that momentum once Micah Parsons went down, to kind of change what his fate would be as far as that contract goes. I assume he's going to be gone next season. The team can save cap space. They could save north of $20 million cash, which cash is really what's important. It's not about the immediate cap space, because ultimately the cash is the cap space you would have spent for the 2026 season, whether it would have been in 2026 or over the next couple years, right? I know people get really hyper fixated on, like, post June 1st and all this stuff. I really don't think that stuff matters that much in an era where you're able to do all these contract conversions, where, like, hey,
the only way it matters is if you've already exhausted all of those measures already. Like, if you were
Browns, the Saints, yes, like, it matters for those teams. Not really. For Green Bay, not really. So I think they'll probably pre June 1st them. I've had people hit me up and be like, do we even think that we can get, like, a sixth or seventh round pick for him?
I'm leaning no now.
No. Yeah. Not unless you eat some of the money, which, like, that's a way to do it. Turn them into an asset. That's what Philadelphia does when they swing and miss on guys, right? We saw that they had their pass rusher. Let's space out his name. I can't remember the guy that they got from the Jets.
Yep. Give me a second. It's coming to me. Huff, right?
Yes. Yes. Huff. Philadelphia signs big, long contracts because they want to set the price for their players. They give extensions very early. And when they swing and miss, they eat money and turn that player into an asset, so they get a draft pick back. Maybe Green Bay does that. Kind of doubt it. I don't think they want to be taking on more dead cap than they need to. The Packers have never really been a team that wants to take on dead cap in the first place. And we've spent a lot of the money. Again, a thing that fans don't necessarily understand is, like, this, the salary scheduling, like, it goes up and up and up and up. We spent a lot of the money for 26 and 27 and probably, like, half of it in 28 already. Yeah. So do not be surprised when the team gets rid of Gary, gets rid of Elton Jenkins, and then they also don't bring in any outside free agents, because that's what the team needs right now. You have to hit on draft picks. That's kind of what happens when you trade for Micah Parsons, give him a massive contract with north of $40 million per year, and you trade two first-round picks. That's the life you're living for the foreseeable future.
The two ways I could see them still utilizing some version of adding players through free agency, again, it's not going to be anything exorbitant, but if Willis, Walker,
yeah,
Ryan, Enigbare, and Dobbs all leave, as you know, the most comp picks you can get is four. What,
you offset two of them.
You can offset two of them and still get four comp picks. Now, you want to be careful if all of a sudden you know, Malik gets some mega deal or whatever. You don't necessarily want to offset the top ones,
no,
but
you're offsetting the bottom ones.
You want to offset the bottom ones is what you want to do in those situations. Also to keep an eye on players who are released that wouldn't count against the comp pick formula as well, where Green Bay has done some of their Christian Kirksey's shopping in the past where he gets released, they can pick him up, doesn't count against the comp formula and things like that. But yeah, I still expect Green Bay to, again, then re-signing your own guys, whether it be Quay, Sean Ryan, Enagbare, something like that, where you can re-sign two of those guys, still get four comp picks for the other guys, and then you're not adding players from other teams. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, whether you're starting a new routine or making player picks for the very first time, trying something new can be difficult. But in life and on Prize Picks, it always feels good to be right. And with high-pressure playoff matchups every weekend and elite hoops action every night, the action never stops. And Prize Picks lets you take control. Now, I love how simple Prize Picks is to use and how fun it is to play. This football season has been even more fun this year with Prize Picks, and getting in my picks for each slate of game has been a super fun part of each football weekend. And listen, I get we're all having withdrawals from our fantasy leagues being over with, so this is the perfect time to stay in fantasy game mode by using Prize Picks every single week. And if you haven't checked lately, Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And again, make sure that you're using that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
Yeah. And I've had people wonder, just hit me up about this. Like, re-signing your own guys doesn't count against the comp pick formula, by the way.
Right.
Which is why basically the Packers are incentivized to not sign outside free agents, re-sign their own players, hit on draft picks. And that's kind of the situation moving forward. Now, I know that that's not what Packers fans want to hear, because all they want to hear is the team is getting shaken up. And it's like, no, we're in an era where it's like, you double down on the roster in 26, you double down in 27. If whoever's left, you double down on 28, and then you probably have to blow the entire thing up.
And the truth is, it's a bad free agent class anyway. It really is. Maybe Linderbaum becomes available. Not like Green Bay is going to spend that much money anyway. It's not a great free agent class. And if it becomes a great free agent class, it's because guys got cut. And again, those guys don't count towards the comp formula anyway. Yeah. So you're fine there.
Yeah. I'm not too worried about it. I mean, you look at the last year's class, there was no one.
Yeah. Really. It's going to continue to be that way for a while.
Yeah. It's a lot of average players. Teams are we've talked about this before. The salary cap is going up $25 million a year. Teams are figuring out how to manipulate the salary cap more and more each season. What that's meaning is a lot fewer players who are not just average guys hitting the market. And that's why the cost of average players is going up like crazy, right? Where we talk about Quay and we're like, that's probably when he hits the open market, he's going to get $15 million a year. And people are like, what are you talking about? He's going to be one of the most sought after linebackers, because that's just where those are the guys who are hitting the market. And because they're hitting the market, those are the guys who are getting the most gains. Like, if you're an average starter in the NFL coming off of a rookie deal, it's never been better for you in terms of the pot that you're making, in terms of the share of the salary cap, because the salary cap is going up. People are borrowing from the future, all this stuff. And those are the guys who are hitting the market. That's why their prices are being driven up. It's that simple.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. What is your number for Kingsley and Igbari, where you would be
him and Sean Ryan? I have no clue. I mean, the other ones I feel pretty good about. I mean, Malik now, like, if good luck guessing that. I think Rashid is going to get 20. I think Dobbs is going to get somewhere
Let me rephrase. What is your number for Enagbare that you would be interested in bringing him back at?
So Mike is coming back.
LVN will be back.
Are we starting LVN over Kingsley next year? Are you picking up LVN's fifth year option?
Regardless of you pick up the fifth year or not, he's back in year four, right? But so no, I probably don't pick up LVN's fifth, and I probably make him play it out and earn it. And if he does amazing, I'll pay more to see him prove it.
Okay, so it'll be a short-term contract for Kingsley then. That's what you're going to the table with, because it's basically Joker pool stick type situation. You're going to have Sorrell. You're going to have Colin Oliver. We'll see.
Maybe Brenton Cox.
Play special team. Oh, man, it's going to be so tough to keep Brenton Cox, man. It really is, just in terms of the roster numbers, especially if you bring back in Igbari. I feel like somewhere around one for five is probably
– 2 years, 16 is too rich for you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anything under 10, and I'm semi-intrigued, just again, based on where numbers are salary cap-wise, anything under 10 – and I think I'm at least intrigued. I would be at least okay with it. Like a 2 year 16, I could get by. Anything more than that, and I'm completely out.
No. I'm pushing it with five for me.
Okay. Okay.
I think he ends up somewhere else. But there were other teams that were interested. We didn't send him away for a draft pick on around the trade deadline and stuff. So it'll be interesting.
I bet he gets more than 10 per year. I bet he gets a 2 year 20 or 3 year 30, something like that.
If so, good for him.
Yep. And I think Sean Ryan gets a very similar John Runyon Jr. I think he gets like a 30 as well. That's my guess.
And I wouldn't be surprised if we sign him, because I know people are, man, the discourse online, and the people are like, and then we're going to spend all the picks on the offensive linemen and the defensive tackles and the cornerbacks, and we need a backup running back and a backup quarterback. I'm like, we got three real picks in this class, and we're going to have like four real picks next class. Folks, we are not in a position where we're just trying to find new starters every year. That's not where we're at. Sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I've had people come up to me and be like, well, you're not painting a very pretty picture of what the future will look like. Well, they're hoping these guys develop. And it's not my job to paint a pretty picture of what the – like, go argue with numbers. Figure out a different way to count. And I'll accept a different future. Until you figure out a different way to count, this is what's happening. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Goody's going to have to do some fun, minimum free agent signings. Hopefully do better than Mecole Hardman and Isaiah Simmons, this year, where both of them didn't make it past training camp. And
well, they do some interesting stuff at like the waiver wire too. And like they did bring in like Nick Neiman and stuff, like some guys that did help them
for sure.
But
and they've done stuff in the, obviously signing Rizul off the practice squad, technically Alan Lazard off a practice squad. Like they've done some stuff in the past that's definitely worked. That they need to find a couple of those hidden gems for sure.
Yeah.
And not give big contracts to Nate Hobbs and Aaron Banks.
They got Wiley isn't a bad player. Right. And I know that's only a one year thing, but like they found Wiley for nothing. They got him for free.
Yep.
So
no, he looks like a more than serviceable tight end at this point. So I'm there with you.
Anything else? Musgrave in this game.
Yes, he did. That was a weird one. But not shocked by it, but I didn't expect it. I'll just put it that way.
They use him more in passing situations than Musgrave, which I think is kind of funny. And really, that's what I think the team was doing. I mean, I think that's why you had Chris Brooks play so many snaps in this game. It's why Wiley played so many snaps on the offensive side. Like, they knew they had to score a bunch of points through the air, and they didn't get very many opportunities to do it. So
I have a few things I want to get to, but anything else from Packers Ravens that you want to go over?
We talked about the CV thing. Just, oh my God. I'm out. I apologize. Yep. For like 2 years, I was like, he's our best cover guy and we don't play him. This doesn't make sense. And then like the Eagles game happens and I'm like, maybe that's just a one-off. But then this happens and it's just like, dude, he is just not interested in taking on Derrick Henry in the open field at all.
There wasn't much of this, but it looked like for a bit what they were doing was basically platooning him and taking him off the field on early downs. And almost like
the guys kept getting hurt.
And then guys,
Hobbs got hurt. Hadn't got hurt. They were trying to do that. Yeah, for sure.
Which I'm all for. Like play Hobbs obviously they can't do it anymore. But play a more physical outside corner on early downs if that's what you want to do. I have no problem with that. I still think he can have value on an obvious passing down. And again, if you want to have Bullard and let's just say Haddon was still healthy, right? If you wanted to play Bullard, Keyshawn, and Haddon as your primary like base nickel against more obvious like run looks or, you know, whatever, like by all means, go ahead and do that. And then in obvious passing downs, go with Hobbs and with Valentine on the other, Mixon on the other side. I'm cool with that. But yeah, we didn't get to see that because everyone got hurt.
Yeah, and they did some funky stuff too with like Bullard playing safety instead of Evan Williams, which I was actually okay with that in this spot, just because like you really wanted that like downhill run game fitter, but then all the injuries at cornerback ended up messing stuff up. I mean, I guess they could have played Kitton in the slot and still had Bullard playing up high, but once Hobbs went down, they kind of got away from it. So that's just kind of how that ended up playing out. I mean, you suffer two injuries at cornerback, but then you have one of your other cornerbacks is playing wide receiver because of guys getting banged up at that position. It's not a good spot to be in.
No, it certainly was not. And it was just one of the many things that went wrong. Also, Nate Hobbs is kick returner. That was a new little interesting wrinkle.
Just use Keyshawn, man.
It's insane. Where do you think Keyshawn lies on the kick returner depth chart at the moment? I tweeted out he might be like 48th on the 48-man game day roster.
They say he practices it every week. They say he practices it every week. Because we've seen what? We've seen Bo back there. We've seen Malik Heath was back there for a bit because he was like the lead blocker.
Emmanuel Wilson.
We've seen Emmanuel Wilson. We've seen Hobbs.
Nate Hobbs.
Savion obviously is back there. So we're going through five guys and we have a hit. The literal back-to-back first team all-pro returner.
Did Golden ever get a kick return or just punt return? I think just punt return, right?
I think just punt.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. It's absolutely wild.
What the hell we're doing, man.
Just play your best guys at their best spots, Justice. What have we been saying all damn? Let's turn to narrative fest. Let's have fun with all the narratives that are out there. I will let you choose. Would you like to start with Matt LaFleur, Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love, or Matthew Golden can't get on the field? What narrative?
I mean, Golden got on the field in this game.
He did.
So he didn't get a touch. He got one touch, but he got on the field in this game. He was
that seems like the easiest narrative at this point because they're playing him. To your point, like it was a pretty even split. Well, first of all, they introduced all the wide receivers in the pregame as the starters. They said as a group, the Packers wide receivers, and then they all came out together. And then we really saw like between Reed, Golden, Watson, and Dobbs, they were all what like 22 to 26 snaps, something like that.
Yeah.
So and Golden was third.
Malik didn't throw him the ball. I haven't really paid attention to the offense that much. It's only Monday when we're recording this. So like I spent most of my time watching the defense and trying not to poke my eyes out. Golden got on the field in this one.
Yeah. I still think this is a matter of time and when he's a really good wide receiver. Could they have given him more opportunities here and there? Sure. Could they have made it? But I don't know. I still think
we knew we had four NFL wide receivers already, and we drafted two in the top 100. Like that was a selection of kind of like backfill stuff. If they were committed to playing Romeo, and no one's complaining about Watson playing snaps right now, right? But if they were committed to play Romeo from the beginning of the season throughout it, which it seems like they did, right? Which I'm sure part of that has to do with the Watson injury and all that stuff. And they're just like, no, we need him to be a starting outside receiver for us this year. Then yeah, of course his snaps were going to get limited because Jaden is going to eat all those snaps as a slot receiver. We talked about this when we were like, look, when Jaden comes back, that's really going to cut into Matthew Golden's snaps. Believe us? I don't know. I don't know what to say other than that. Like this is kind of expected.
No, I'm there too. I think that's the easiest one. All right. Let's go Malik Willis, Jordan Love next. Matt gets asked the question in the press conference. Does Malik Willis give you a better chance to win football games in the postseason? Matt squashed it. There is a percentage of the fan base that seems to want Malik Willis to be the starter. How are we dealing with narrative?
I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, Jordan is like first in like EPA per play, all this stuff. I was told the Packers had like the check ready to go for the Jordan Love Pro Bowl nomination. And they were like, oh, Darnold got it. Okay. Cause I think Jordan would have made $500,000 if he made the Pro Bowl this year. And they thought, up until the morning of the announcement, they thought he was going to get it, right? He was going to be the third quarterback in the NFC. They gave him the signing bonus, all that stuff. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, the team isn't moving off of Jordan Love. I don't know what gave you that guys that inkling over the last couple seasons that they were going to move off of Jordan Love. It's not happening. That's your quarterback. I don't know what to tell you.
I'll take it two steps further. First of all, the most basic situation, if pre-June 1st, Jordan has a $50 million cap hit next year, or a $50 million dead cap hit. And that's if he's traded, pre-June 1st. And if you want any, draft, like I said, we'll trade him for two first rounds. If you want the draft picks, you're going to have to trade him pre-June 1st. And you're going to take a $50 million cap hit in doing so. It's just a complete nonsense.
Mind you, again, the roster is leveraged. Folks, these are the good times. I don't know how many times,
Don't look too deep
in the future. Don't do
it. So then not only do you take the $50 million dead cap hit, but then now you have to pay Malik Willis whatever 20 plus million on top of it or whatever he gets to be your starter. Good luck finding that all of that money out of completely nowhere. So that number one on its most basic forms, you just can't do it. Like, you just cannot do it. Number two, Jordan's just better than Malik. I don't want to even have to say anything disparaging towards Malik Willis because he's been freaking awesome. He's been everything that you could possibly ask for. They clearly have found a way to win with Malik Willis, or at least play really well at winning offense with Malik Willis. He could not have done anything more than they possibly asked him to. And yes, Jordan is just by far and away still the better starting quarterback in the NFL. Like you said, in every advanced metric, top five in just about everything. You have a star quarterback on your team right now. Don't wish him away. No matter what you do, do not wish him away. That is one of the best things going for this team right now. So it is awesome that Malik has played this well. Kudos. As long as he's not in Minnesota, I'm going to be cheering for him next year, as long as he's not playing against Green Bay. But it's a very simple conversation.
Wasn't there like a... Didn't Brunell and Favre kind of had this sort of thing too? Where like at one point...
As well, fans... Hasselbeck and, and Brunell both, yes.
So every generation...
Experience this. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, if Malik goes and has a Brunell career, good for him. Didn't Brunell go to like AFC Championship game? I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Even like an Aaron Brooks-esque career is not like a bad comp either. Like Aaron Brooks got paid and had a real. So yeah, either of those Hasselbeck career, like good backups come through and have great careers for other teams. So go. And I said, I'll be cheering him on. All right, Matt LaFleur time again. It's also trade Matt LaFleur time. Trade Matt LaFleur. So where are we at and or firing of said head coach?
I don't think anything's going to happen. I think he's going to get an extension this offseason. the trade stuff is crazy, man. Like, it takes two to tango, and then once you go down that route, it's already basically decided, right? Like, I don't think so. Especially like, so Matt's represented by Athletes First, which is probably one of three big agencies: WGME, Athletes First, and then CAA, who represents coaches. I don't know what Matt's record is, but I know it's like he wins 2/3 of his games. Do you think Athletes First is going to be rushing to Green Bay and saying, hey, we'd love to for you guys to sign our hot new head coaching candidate after you kicked the can on our guy who won 2/3 of his games here, like got you through a transition between two quarterbacks, all this stuff. I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I think he's going to get extended. I know some people have said that like he's coaching for his job, all that stuff. I don't think that's true. I think, like, if they play everyone this week, I'll think that he's playing for his job, right? Where it's like they need some inkling of like a momentum change going into the playoffs, right. All that stuff. If they sit guys, I'm like, oh no, he knows. He knows.
He knows he's back. That's a really good point. Let me, because you've talked about this a little bit before. I think the really interesting aspect of this is that he's got 1 year left on his deal. Because let's say they get blown out in the wild card game. And let's say the game to Minnesota ultimately doesn't matter, but let's just say the optics of it look even worse and you lose your final five games of the season and you get blown out in the wild card game. And while I still don't think in that scenario, Green Bay wants to fire Matt LaFleur, I do think that there's a world in which they don't want to extend Matt LaFleur. And that's where things get really interesting to me. Because if Green Bay says, listen, we're not going to fire you, but we don't really have any interest in giving you a 3 or 4 year extension. We'll do the plus one where you're not a lame duck coach.
So that's what I was going to say is like the problem is for the team, the most beneficial thing is a 1 year extension,
but
Matt doesn't have to sign.
No interest in doing it.
Right.
And so that to me is where this becomes really interesting is if Green Bay is only willing to do the plus one and Matt says, hell no, we're not doing a plus one. That, and then the agent says, hell no, we're not doing a plus one. And then that's where, to me, it becomes interesting of like, does Matt say, if I don't get an extension, like you don't want Matt just back on the 1 year deal. Like, I don't think you want to go in that direction. And so that to me is where this gets interesting. I don't think there's a firing almost no matter what. And I don't think Matt is willing to accept the plus one. And I do think there could be a world in which Green Bay is like, we're not going to give you a 4 year extension after you lost five games in a row and haven't won a playoff game since 2023. And you've only won one in the last 4 years. We're not giving you a 4 year top of the market coaching extension. That's where I see, like, is there a mutual parting? Is there something like that? That is what's interesting to me.
Well, I don't think Green Bay wants to get into a mutual parting of ways. Again, the roster is highly leveraged right now, right? These are the good times. You want to reboot it?
I don't. First of all,
yeah, like, because it's going to take 2 years for a system to really settle in, right? So you're talking about the system settling in at the same time that you're blowing the roster up.
I think people would point to and say, well, Vrabel, Cohen, and Ben Johnson are right now three of the best, wherever you want to put them, three of the better teams in the NFL and are having success in their first year.
Dude.
I'm just devil's advocating at this point, Justice.
I know. The Bears were able to juice that offense, spend a ton of assets. Their defense can't play worth a lick. And they're not going to win anything because of it, right? We just saw how many points they put up, or the Niners put up on them. They've been surviving off of turnovers all year. The Patriots came into, first of all, they have a quarterback on a rookie contract who's very good, right?
They came into
the year with the most salary cap space in the league. The Packers are going to be at basically zero in terms of salary cap space when it's all said and done and you include the rookie class, all that stuff, even after some of these cuts because of the extensions of guys like Tucker Kraft, all that stuff. I don't think you can compare, like, folks, the Micah Parsons trade was them going all in and saying, we double down until this thing completely falls off the rails. And it hasn't completely fallen off the rails yet. I know some people look at this and they're like, the sky is falling. No, they're riding this thing out, baby. And they're going to hope that they're healthier next year.
Like, yep.
The college stuff has gotten interesting because, like, Michigan stumbled their way into Kyle Whittingham, even though, like, the AD still might get fired. So, like, I don't even know who made that hiring in Michigan. I know today Marcus Freeman said that he's coming back to Notre Dame. We'll see. That is not a legally binding statement. I remember when Nick Saban went into a press conference and said, I am not going to take the Alabama job. I remember Lincoln Riley being like, I'm not leaving for LSU, only for him to leave for USC. We'll see what happens with Marcus Freeman. I don't know if there's going to be a leverage point. at the college level. It would have to be in Notre Dame at this point. But yeah, I could totally see Matt being like, to hell with you guys. I'm not going to sign this extension. I'll play the year out. And then if they do have a turnaround and he does, kind of change the momentum, builds all that stuff, Goot gets more power. Like you said, Domofsky has said in the past. I mean, does he Holmgren it and just say like, yeah, I'm going to go leave because they'll give me more power, all this stuff. I can walk into a room and dictate things instead of ask for things like I've been having to do for the last 2 years, right? I mean, I can see that being a situation that happens in 26, so.
We'll be right back. I am with you on everything.
The drama will not stop. It'll be great. It'll be fun, guys.
Can't wait. By the way, this is neither here nor there. I'm assuming this is the case for Justice as well. Not that this matters. It doesn't matter. I don't care at all. But for those who say like, I just want to defend Matt LaFleur or whatever, it would be far better for us as content creators if something happened to Matt. Yeah, a coaching search.
Oh, coaching search. Doug.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If they went the coaching machine. Search, that's probably... Yeah, it's going to be new, like coaching candidates, then a hire, then one of our like most popular podcasts ever. And this was when we even knew who we were, basically, was when Matt got hired as a head coach. You probably end up with new coordinators. This isn't going to be an offseason where they don't have much money to spend in free agency. They're not going to gain much. And there's not going to be a first round pick. And if Jeff Affley stays as defensive coordinator, you might not end up with any coordinator changes. We'll see what happens with Bisaccia and whatever. And you obviously have no head coaching change. This might be the most bland offseason that we've had in Packers for the Packers in a long time. So if you want to introduce a coaching change as a content creator, trust me, I am all for that side of it. That would be a welcome addition to this offseason, which looks like it could be very bland. So no, I'm literally speaking from just what I think is best for the team. I think it is to keep Matt LaFleur and keep going in this direction. And I would be very surprised if they did anything different.
Yeah, you're 100% right in terms of the content machine. It would definitely help us if they shook some stuff up. I don't come on here to lie or anything. I come on here because I like what Andy does. And so
right
like,
back at you.
You guys are asking me questions. I try to answer
the way that we throughout the
week. Like, I think is going to happen. Like, I think they're going to sit pat. I think they're going to sit pat. They're going to hope that they get healthier. And I know that's not what a lot of you want to hear, but I'm not going to come on here and lie to you guys. So
you and I, and really kind of everyone in this space, and not that it's not like nobody does it, but everyone in the Packer space is like, you don't have to lie or be clickbaity for good conversation topics when it comes to the Packers. And there's a thirst for Packers content, no matter what. Yeah. The last thing that you or I think want to, or need to, or care to do is to make things up, to talk about it. And you and I have disagreed on things, and we'll disagree on things in the future. But there's going to be stuff that we're both going to get things wrong, both in the past and in the future as well. Yeah. Like that just is the way that it's going to go. The only way that this is enjoyable for me, and I'm sure for you as well, is to go out and talk about the Packers in the way that we want to talk about it and say, like, this is our legitimate feeling on the topic. If I go to and try to BS something one way or the other, A, it's going to come across as fake, and nobody's going to want to listen to that anyway. And B, I don't even want to do it at that point. I have zero interest in doing that. So yeah, whatever happens, happens, but we're at least being honest and transparent about it.
Okay. You want a shot of honesty that'll piss off Packers fans?
I don't know if I do, but yes, I do.
Pretty good game from Keyshawn Nixon and the special teams.
This past
didn't really hear Pete from the special teams and Keyshawn Nixon. Told they cost us every game.
I probably could have a couple bones to pick with Keyshawn. The special teams was very fine in this game. I had no issues with the special teams. Keyshawn a couple, but Keyshawn definitely not the issue in this game. Let's put it that way. There was of the 41 points that were allowed, not much was on Keyshawn. He did have a nice pass breakup in the end zone as well.
Yeah, man. You don't want to burn the tape, but it's brutal to watch, and they're not going to have an opportunity to make up for it again until the playoffs. I mean, I don't – what terrible timing What terrible timing for the run defense to just lay a complete egg.
I agree with you, but I will also say, I think the message is the regular season's dead. It's over. There's nothing that matters. We're starting completely brand new starting the wild card weekend. It's a new season. It's a refresh and everything. I think this gives you a legitimate opportunity. This week doesn't matter. We're going to sleepwalk through it. We might lose by 20 and then we're going to just refresh and it's a new January, whatever it is.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I'm still worried about the defensive line though. I do.
Oh, at least the message to digest.
I think I'm most worried about defensive tackle next year, which I know sounds crazy because we're potentially losing two starting offensive linemen. We have the cornerback situation, but guys, they're all under contract. I think all the cornerbacks are coming back next year and they're just going to have them compete. And I know that's going to drive you guys insane. They might add a draft pick, but I think they're kind of going to just go BPA in the draft this year. Like the only body they actually really need is like a backup quarterback. But in terms of like starting level talent, the one I'm most worried about, like, dude, we have to get better at defensive tackle next year. We have to. It can't be
big time.
It can't be 17 more regular season games of this and hoping that Wyatt stays healthy. And if anyone on the defensive line goes down, you're screwed. Cause it's just going to be the Wyatt and Parsons show. And then, you know, some LVN snaps when he kicks inside.
And Wyatt has not exactly like been, Wyatt's not exactly been the bastion of health through his career so far. No. He's had injury issues. Mike is coming off an ACL. Rashawn and Enigbare might be gone. And yeah, you just don't have the talent that you need at defensive tackle. I went through today and I did my reasons that were what's gone wrong for Green Bay. And number three on my list was defensive tackle of just
starting defensive tackle losing Kenny Clark. Yeah.
So that was number three on my list. I didn't have it specific. I basically put it in order, and I didn't specifically go on like number, but that was the third thing that came to my mind when I was putting this together. Players not playing up to expectations. Guys like Rashawn Gary, Elton Jenkins, Rashid, a couple others as well. And then interior defensive lineman was the other. So or my third on the list. But really quick, is there anything that you're going to want to take away from Packers Vikings, or is this just a meaningless everything?
I mean, I'm sure that I'm going to enjoy watching Tyron Hopper play some snaps at linebacker because I think he has potential for next year. If Bo Melton goes in at corner, I would love to get an opportunity to see him play cornerback outside of just the preseason. Going into next year.
Catan.
I think I know what we have. I think Catan's pretty good.
I do too. Yeah. That's why I'm kind of excited to see what play. He
does on special teams and stuff like that.
We might get Colin Oliver.
Yeah, that would be great seeing an unboxing of Colin Oliver. Outside of that, not really. I mean, it's lower guys on the depth chart getting snaps. I mean, that would really be it.
Savion Williams might get real snaps at wide receiver. That's semi-intriguing. I think I know what that's going to look like, but I'm semi-intrigued nonetheless. But yeah, I think that's probably it. Clayton Tune, kind of de facto backup quarterback audition. I also think I know how that's going to go.
I don't think he's going to be QB2. Folks, we are spending probably a fourth round pick on a quarterback next offseason. So now we're down to two real picks. If you're counting at home, two real picks.
What about Tyler Huntley as your backup quarterback next year?
I guess. What pick is he going to offset? That's the big thing.
Fair enough.
It's like the going rate is like $5 million.
Yeah. No, it's not going to offset.
No.
Probably offsetting. I mean, yeah, it just depends on what kind of contract he gets. But if you do in fact get six comp picks using, again, you can only get four. So if you can offset one of them with Huntley, I wouldn't hate that idea at least.
I think they're going to try to bring Ryan back and that'll get you down to five. And then if you let Walker walk, I think
Ryan makes the most sense to bring back, but every single time anyone asks about Ryan, it's like they hate the guy. That's the only thing. But I do think he makes the most sense to bring back.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. I mean, those are February, March problems.
And you said earlier you want the Bears. You want the Bears over the Eagles? Or maybe you didn't.
Yeah,
maybe
they haven't led a single second over us in regulation in two games. Yeah, I want the Bears. They can't stop anything. Caleb is playing very confident, though. That kind of spooked me a little better. Bit. I did find a bar up here in Portland called Jerry's. The owner is a Bears fan, and the wife is a Packers fan. And it is both a Bears and Packers bar. And apparently, like, when it's like morning game, afternoon game, it's like shifts coming in, like packed shoulder to shoulder, all that stuff. I was going to go check it out for the Sunday night game yesterday, but then the Packers lost. And I was like, I don't want to be around all these Bears fans right now. But if there's a playoff game, I might first half down there. So, yeah.
You might have to live stream from the bar.
I might do it, but
that'd be good content. That's good content.
I don't want to be sad. I don't want to be sad around Bears fans. So
you can be the guy, like the famous Dallas Cowboys guy at the bar who's sitting with a bunch of Cowboys fans and just being like, ha, wait till Jordan gets the ball back or whatever. Recreate the meme.
I need it. I need the win. I do think, like, the only way Matt loses his job, it's if it's against the Bears and it's a blowout. I think that's the only way, where it's just the team ends up coming out of that game thinking like, oh no, we've actually slipped in this division race, right? Because I don't think they're 1-1 against the Bears, but I think the takeaways from those two games are: the first game you should have beat them by way more, and then the second game you shot yourself in the foot like 10 different ways just so that the Bears could win that game.
Well, it's funny because if you would have asked again, like 4 or 5 weeks ago, what's the scenario in which Matt could lose his job? You're talking about the only scenario is like, well, if they lose their like last five games and get blown out in the playoff game, all right, well, then we can have the conversation, right? Then we can have the conversation. Well, they've now lost 3 in a row, probably going to lose 4 in a row. And now, so the only thing to complete the equation would be being blown out in the playoff game. Hopefully it doesn't happen, Justice, but that would be... That'd be the one thing that makes it a conversation, and you just basically have one more box to check.
Yeah. Speaking of winning and losing, has anyone ever gained more money in two losses than Malik Willis under center?
No.
He didn't even have to win a game.
No.
Good for him.
Well, what do you think his ceiling is?
I don't know. I think he's better than Justin Fields.
Yep. Agreed.
I don't think there's a great comp.
Would you rather have Kyler Murray or Malik Willis going into the offseason?
NFL locker rooms would rather have Malik. Malik definitely, his Q rating in locker rooms is definitely higher than Kyler.
I think I'd take Malik.
I'd probably still roll with Kyler, but
okay. Would you rather have Tua or Malik Willis?
I'd rather have Malik than Tua.
Agreed. Yeah.
But I've never really been a Tua guy.
We're probably talking. Let's do this just really quick before we get out of here. All right. So Stafford, Burrow. I haven't realized that Malik Willis is PFF's third highest graded passer and second graded quarterback on the season. Obviously it's a small sample size. I did not realize Malik Willis is number two for PFF. That's incredible. Stafford, Burrow, Love, May, Purdy, Prescott. I'm assuming you'd take Sam Darnold over Malik Willis. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. If I don't have to make like a multi-year commitment, like right now, probably. Yeah. But I'm not giving him a 5-year deal.
Fair enough. Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Jalen. I'm still taking Jalen Hurts, even though he might suck. I think I still have to take Jalen Hurts in that scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bo Nix. I take Bo Nix, I think.
That's pretty close to me.
Probably close.
With the contract, I would take Knicks, but I don't know if that's a factor here.
Jared Goff, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Patrick Mahomes, CJ Stroud. And then I think you start getting, Bryce Young?
I'd take Malik over Bryce.
Okay. So you might be talking
Baker is another guy.
Baker, Lamar Jackson are two more that are graded lower, but are better. And then you get into like the Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck sort of conversations. But you're probably talking potentially about somewhere between 20th and like 25th quarterback, somewhere in that range, which it's not a bad starter. Kyler Murray again, conversation.
Yeah.
But that's probably the range that he's in. That's interesting.
He's going to get a look. He's going to get an opportunity this offseason. This quarterback class is not good. All the underclassmen are going back. The only guy who's a lock to come out is Fernando Mendoza. I think it's six draftable quarterbacks right now on the consensus board who are for sure going to be in this class. And two of them had season-ending injuries, right? And one of them is Mendoza, who's probably going to go 1-1. So there's not going to be many quarterbacks available, and I'm sure that'll drive Malik's price up. Good for him.
Did you see the Mendoza stat of like all of his best stats were against all of the crappy teams he played against, and like the three or four good teams he played against, he had like six touchdowns and five picks?
I guess, but
I don't know how much it matters. It was an interesting stat.
He did well against Oregon. He did well against Ohio State. Indiana hasn't had to play a whole ton of guys, but no, that team is good, man.
We'll find out more coming up too in his remaining games. We'll find games probably. Well, we'll see if it's games, but I would assume games. We'll find out more about him too.
I think they're gonna win it, man. I think they're gonna win it. People keep talking about them like they're some like feel good story, and not that like they bought Cal's quarterback, and they got all these transfers with Mark Cuban's money and are pumping that program. Like, that's – pay attention to them, folks. I don't think they're going away anytime soon. They're probably going to steal another quarterback in the portal. That's a well-coached team that is putting a lot of money behind that program.
Just Wisconsin needs another good Big Ten team ahead of them that they can't compete with. Justice, I cannot thank you enough as always. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I just can't believe the defensive line just decided not to play that game.
No showed it. Do you think that there was the piece of like, hey, Mike is gone, we have to try to do extra, and it was everyone doing extra? Or do you think it was everyone just not doing enough?
I think it like oscillated like between play, like on any given play, any player could have been doing too much or too little. It was not good overall. Yeah, 300 rushing yards, right?
Everything's bad in that scenario. Everything's bad in that scenario. Effort, play style, technique, all of it. All of it's bad when you give up 307.
So bad.
Follow him at JUMOSQ, social media, acmepackingcompany.com. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.